Welcome. It is Monday, September 30th, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight. I realize tonight is our typical Monday night prayer meetings, and we are going to get into some prayer, but we've got so much at stake right now. We got so much to talk about. We as Americans, have just witnessed an historic, catastrophic storm of, and now I'm going to use a term that the mainstream media is using, of biblical proportions. Entire swaths of North Carolina are gone. Portions of Tennessee, communities, areas gone, wiped out. Portions of Florida wiped out. They're talking over $100 billion in damage. And all of this on the eve, at midnight tonight, there is going to be, if things are not resolved, there is going to be a potential port strike. And if this happens, we could see 2020 and 2021 all over again. Plus, on top of this, more American soldiers being deployed, thousands more, to the Middle East, Israel, in a full ground invasion right now. In Lebanon, Verizon users, over 100,000 Verizon users today, no communications, completely cut off. They suffered the same outages as AT&T users not too long ago. Remember that? Also, right here in my neck of the woods, we had a chemical fire that spewed toxic ash up 40,000 feet in the air, caused over 90,000 residents to be locked in, basically into their homes. And in that area, in that region, it's still happening. So we're going to talk about all this tonight, get you up to date on this, and then we're going to pray. And we've got a lot to pray about. So let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, again, what's going on, guys? It is Monday night, September 30th, the last day of September of 2024. We're on the eve of October 1st. We are knocking on the door of Rosh Hashanah on the Hebrew New Year, the new year in Israel on God's calendar. We're knocking on the door of this. And man, it seems like America is just falling apart at the seams. We got a lot to cover tonight. Again, if you're just joining us right here live, this is not pre-recorded. We are live here on YouTube. You guys, we want to welcome everybody to the pre-broadcast or the rebroadcast of this, excuse me, on Apple, Spotify, Rumble, and wherever you may be watching or listening. Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And listen, before we get started tonight, we want to welcome everybody. If you're new, first time joining us, maybe you hopped in here, you found us on YouTube or Rumble or whatever the case may be, please let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. Listen, we would love for you guys to keep up with this. Hit that bell notification. Hit that subscribe button right there on YouTube and Rumble. And of course, hit that like button. That like button helps us get this out on these algorithms, on these platforms. So if you just take in 1 second to go and hit that like button, it's going to help us out. We would greatly appreciate that. And of course, if you've not got our free app, I would encourage you to stop by your Play Store today. Pick it up, Apple, Android, wherever you get your apps from. Download it today. This is how you keep up with everything we do, every podcast, every headline, every prophecy update that we do, all these live streams of prayer meetings. Everything's going to be right there. Just download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you'll be squared away. Now, I'm just going through some announcements, guys. I want to get these announcements out of the way so that we can get into this. Because when we get into the prayer aspect of this, I don't want to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit and give these announcements. So, again, tonight is Monday night prayer. Maybe you don't know this, but every Monday night, live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, we come on here as a unified body of believers and online community, and we pray about specific needs, circumstances, events going on. And tonight is one of those nights. Tonight is a night that that you're going to see us. We're coming together and we're praying for our country. We're praying for those folks in North Carolina tonight. We're praying for those folks in Tennessee. We're praying for those folks in Florida. We're going to bombard heaven tonight in prayer. And of course, guys, if you appreciate this ministry and you'd like to become a partner, pray about that. We want to give you that opportunity right there at the top. If you're listening live on the chat up there at the top where it says support, there's a big bold letter support. You can click on there and you can support also two other ways. You can go through the app electronically, or you can go to the website or right there on the screen, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1390, 1 Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, I just want to show you those are ways. Again, you pray about it. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, help us, support us. We don't merchandise the gospel. We don't sell any of our podcasts. We don't sell merchandise. All of our messages are free. Our app is free. We have no subscription base. Again, we are a partner supported ministry. So we are what? Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We are 3 to 4 days, after the after effect of what we now know is that will go down in history as one of the most catastrophic historical hurricanes that ever strike America. They're calling this a once in a lifetime storm. Now, I do want to say this real quick. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to focus more on, because there's a lot of questions centered around this hurricane. We're going to focus from a biblical perspective tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it. Tomorrow night, again, 8 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to show you how I believe the Bible gives us clues of what to look out for and how these things like this should not catch us off guard. We should be prepared for this because the Bible has warned us about this. And it specifically tells you that there is going to be an order to the chaos. There's a pattern to this for those who are discerning. They understand the times and seasons. I'm not going to focus on that tonight because that's not our intent tonight. Our intent tonight is just to inform you and that we can have a point of prayer in regarding this. So as of right now, this hurricane has claimed the lives of over 100 people. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, the death toll is probably far more than that. They are saying right now, from all the sources I've seen, and I know I've got sources that are on the inside down in those areas, and they're saying that there is well over 1,200 people still missing. And that's probably a low estimate. We truly don't know how many lives are gone that they haven't found. There's entire communities that has just been wiped off the map. And if the buildings are gone and the road is gone and the power lines are gone and the trees are ripped from the earth and these homes that there was residents along those riverbeds and tributaries and all in the creek beds, what do you think happened to them? So this is horrific. This is so sad, guys. And you know what's crazy is, like, I've noticed multiple mainstream media news outlets say stuff like this right here. They're using terms like biblical devastation, scenes of biblical proportions, apocalyptic. Look at this. This is from the Washington Post. Biblical devastation in North Carolina towns flooded by Helene. Again, biblical flooding, biblical proportions, biblical devastation. And I'm going to talk about this tomorrow night, so you're probably going to hear me reiterate some stuff. I'm going to talk about some stuff tonight that you're going to probably hear me talk about tomorrow. So they'll kind of interchange. But I believe that people are starting to wake up, and that's a good thing. Remember, all these years, guys, the missionaries are out on the field. We're sowing the seed. We're sowing the seed of the gospel. A sower went out and he sowed the seed. Every time you go out into the marketplace, your workplace, your family, your communities, your neighborhoods, and you witness the gospel to them, and you take headlines like this, you take messages, and you take the newspaper headlines, and you take that was a generation ago, but this generation would take their smartphones or their laptops or their tablets, and you would pull up headlines and you put them next to Bible verses and prophecy and say, look, everything is unfolding. Everything is unfolding right before our eyes. And again, guys, thank you for your contributions and your support to our ministry. So everything is unfolding right before our eyes. Asheville, North Carolina. I was blown away when I looked at the images and the videos. My family and I went to Asheville, North Carolina, went to the Biltmore last year, and was just down there and walked through all these locations that they keep putting up all the images, all the videos, and showing everything completely underwater. Here's a report from the Washington Examiner. Let me pull this up for you guys so you can see what I'm looking at. Look at this headline. Asheville has been cut off from the world. Damage estimated $100 billion in the South. $100 billion. And again, that's a low estimate. Asheville completely cut off from the world. What does that even mean? There was a report today that said they're saying now that there's at least 30, and again, this number's probably already outdated by now, but at least 30 people has been found dead in Asheville, North Carolina. They have no communications, phone lines gone, no gas, no food, no water. No transportation means nobody can get in, nobody can get out. No electricity. One Asheville, North Carolina resident sounded the alarm as his community battles devastation left by Hurricane Helene, detailing it an apocalyptic weekend. The verbiage, guys, it's crazy. It's been an incredibly apocalyptic weekend for all of us here. This was Asheville resident Gregory Harrison. Said, quote, almost no gas. There's almost no cell service. There's limited power. There's limited food. There are people who are trying to find potable water to feed their families, to have water for their children. Officials are scrambling in Asheville and trying to rescue residents who have been trapped by the historic flooding over the weekend, which has again left many without access to power, running water, and cell service. There's been at least... the North Carolina National Guard has activated more than 500 soldiers, airmen, and 200 vehicles and aircraft, including a hoist and emergency aviation assets, as well as high water response vehicles. Our air assets, quote, have moved more than 34,000 pounds of cargo, including food, water, and medical supplies to distribute. And guys, I'm very thankful that our ministry was able to contribute to this. We want to help as much as we can. If I can't get down there and help, I refuse to sit there and watch Americans. And guys, I'm going to get fired up about this. So you're going to have to just bear with me while I get on my soapbox about this. How is it that we, as regular Americans, tax-paying citizens, are furious and enraged. Why? Because where is our commander in chief? Who is our commander in chief? Is it Biden? Is it Harris? Where are they at? How are they not there? How has this not been addressed? How have we not heard anything? Oh, that's right. There was a statement made. When Biden was questioned about this, he got defensive. When he was asked who's commanding Hurricane Helene response during a press conference, he got furious. And he said, quote, "I was on the phone for at least 2 hours yesterday and the day before as well. I command it. It's called a telephone and all my security people." He then turned and said, quote, "It's not important for the country to see." And then he even went as far as to say, and this is really what got me, and this should get you, is when he stated that there is no more resources that we can give. We've done all we can do. Really? Are you kidding me? How about we cut off Zelensky? How about we cut off the hundreds of millions, dare I say billions? I don't even know at this point how much money we've distributed to Ukraine and Zelensky. How dare us give another dime to any other country? I'm going to say it. I don't care. Listen, y'all get mad if you want. It don't really matter to me. But we have entire communities that's been wiped out. What about us? What about the home team? And yet, some of you all are being duped and suckered by all these stupid ads, political ads, about how Harris gets up and says, "Vote for me, and I'm going to make it better. I'm going to bring back affordable groceries and gas and reduce inflation." Really, last time I checked, lady, you've been in the same administration for 3.5 years. But now all of a sudden, because you're running officially for the president, oh, now I'm going to pull out all the resources. Now I'm going to make all the promises to make America great again. Yeah, right. Phooey on you. Oh, Brother Ricky, I can't believe you're getting political. Listen, this ain't about politics, guys. This is about the survival of our nation. I thought you was going to be praying tonight, Brother Ricky. I am going to pray. But I have some righteous indignation. I am going to pray. We're going to pray. But I have some stuff I want to get off my chest too, and I'm going to do it. And if you don't like it, there's the door. It don't matter to me. I've never been one to tickle ears or cater people their attention span. Death toll triples in Asheville area after Hurricane Helene guts North Carolina. I want you to see this. Look at this headline. There were bodies in the trees. Bodies in the trees. You need to see this. Take a long look at this. Why? I want you to, come on, you want a political ad? I'll do this one free for Trump right here. Next, when you go to cast your ballot, cast your vote, ask yourself this. Where was this administration? Where are they at? Where are they at? That's what I want to know. Where? And we just got so many things going on, guys. And I want to pull up something here that I want to take consideration, because when I say, I'm going to get back to our title of this message, disaster after disaster is striking America. I want to ask you a question. How many disasters do you think that America can keep taking before we just completely collapse? I'm just asking. I mean, we just going to keep printing money? We just going to keep giving it out to Zelensky, giving it out to Ukraine? Because this disaster alone, they're estimating it $100 billion. But then, here's something else that maybe you may not know. there is a Ingalls. Now, you guys may not know this depending on your area, and I get that. This is down in the North Carolina region in the South. In fact, I'm going to make sure I get this right. Ingalls operates a large distribution center, listen to this, in Black Mountain, North Carolina. Now, again, Ingalls has over 200 stores, around 198 to 210 locations. These stores are primarily located in six southeastern U.S. states, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and Virginia. So if I got folks, come on, in the house tonight, listening, watching from any of these six U.S. states in the South, you know what an Ingalls is. But so this may not come as a surprise to you, but for those, again, on the West Coast, you may not know this, but there is a Ingalls distribution headquarters that is, again, right there in Black Mountain, North Carolina, and it's completely, it's been leveled in the water. It's flooded. Now, why is this important? Because this is a distribution center that covers approximately 1.65 million square feet and includes facilities for refrigerated, frozen, and dry goods storage and supports the company's network of over 200 grocery stores, again, throughout the entire U.S. southern states. Again, six major states. Now, so you couple that on top of the disaster they're already facing there. So not only these people can't even get food because they've been cut off from the world, but then the food distribution center that gets out to the trucks and supplies, now it's underwater. This is a catastrophe, guys. This is what I'm saying. This is why we got to pray tonight. And then on top of that, again, this is interesting. Did you know that North Carolina is also a location of a major lithium distribution? They're a major lithium distributor. And again, this in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, in Gaston County, North Carolina, these are locations, again, where this is distributed. And now, why am I bringing this up? Look, oh, I shouldn't even go here with this, but I'm going to go here. There is a lot of speculation, fingers pointing. Who was to blame for this? Now, I want to say that this would be so tragic if this turns out to be another Hawaii. I got to be careful what I say here because I want to keep this up on the program tonight. I want to keep it on the platform. It would be very tragic and it would be disgusting if this turns out to be another Hawaii scenario where there is an advantage of a catastrophe or a cause of a catastrophe, a disaster, in order to bring about an agenda. And that's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to leave it at that. Some of you guys, listen, I know I am very familiar with a lot of our audience, and I know that you guys are smart, and I know you can think, and I know you are researchers, and that's why you love the deep stuff and the teaching. So you guys do your homework on that. This would be absolutely disgusting if this goes in a certain way, and time will tell. I hope it don't, guys. I try to keep hope for humanity. I really do. But we'll see in time. So over $100 billion worth of damage. Then you got a major food distribution center, Ingalls, underwater. How's that going to affect six states? One of them, including yours truly, where I live, right here in Georgia, in my state, it's going to affect us as well. Then, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Then we have, let me pull this up full screen again. I want to show you this. There is an area of disturbance, a tropical disturbance, right off the Gulf of Mexico, right there on your screen at the bottom. You'll see Hurricane Isaac. That's not a threat. You've got Hurricane Isaac, Tropical Storm Joyce, probably going to form to a hurricane, but it's not going to be probably a threat. But this disturbance to the left, they're saying now that this is something that they're keeping a very close eye on. Guys, this is one of the points of why I brought you in here tonight, and we're going to pray against this thing. We are going to pray against this thing forming into a hurricane. Guys, this is the last thing we need, is for this thing to form into a full-blown hurricane, gain strength, and come up right through the Florida coast and just come in and add insult to injury. We don't need this, guys. We've got to pray against this. So we've got that going on. Then, I don't know if you have T-Mobile, AT&T, or whatnot, then you probably are unaware of this. But for you guys who have Verizon, the timing of this is very interesting to me. Verizon outage causes thousands, and we're talking hundreds of thousands, to lose service nationwide today. Let me know in the comment section below if you're one of those in the chat. If you're one of those in the chat that you've been affected by this. Verizon users nationwide lost access to phone services Monday and an apparent outage. I don't even know if it's the services back up. This happened early this morning. The number of outages hit its peak around 11 a.m. I believe that's Eastern. Well, there was over 100,000 being reported. However, by 3 p.m., the outages count had lessened to just under 50,000. So half of them got their service back 4 hours later, or excuse me, 6 hours later. But it's interesting. It says that they are experiencing no signal or a total blackout. Again, this is happening so much, guys. What is up with these phone services? If you press it and asking for an explanation, it's always, well, it was a glitch. It was a software update and nothing more and nothing to see here, folks. Let's just all move along. But you want to talk about the worst possible timing that could happen? Would be right now in the midst of what we just went through, the aftermath. Are you kidding me? This is the worst possible timing you could get. Then as of the recording of this is live Monday night, September 30th, on the eve of October 1st, we could see an absolute catastrophe in the making in regards to our economy. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let me pull this up. I want to show you this. This is something we're keeping a very close eye on. A port strike. Look at this headline. This is from USA Today. A port strike could cost the economy $5 billion per day on top of $100 billion plus that we just suffered through this hurricane, on top of who knows what other disasters have already happened that I'm not even including or thinking about tonight. And we're just hemorrhaging money, guys. Our nation is hemorrhaging just billions of dollars. But look at this. Some 45,000 union workers could walk off the job at seaports on the U.S. East and Gulf Coast on October 1st. Again, that's only a few hours from now until we get to 12 midnight and we cross over to October 1st. And if this thing happens, the strike could hit, quote, 36 ports that handle about one half of U.S. ocean ports. And again, as a result, it could affect availability of a range of goods from bananas to clothing to cars shipped via container. Great. Here we go again. Can you say 2020, 2021 all over again? Remember all that nonsense? And remember, I want to refresh your memory, guys. Remember what that did for, and I know that the mainstream media and this administration doesn't want to say or admit that we've been in inflation. They're like, oh no, you know, they play it off and everything's great and it's sunny days and tulips and everything is just wonderful. But the average consumer, you and I, who actually live down here and not up here in the hierarchy of where they're at, we have to get gas. We have to go to work. We have to pay our bills. We have to pay our taxes. We have to get groceries and we have to supply for our families. We feel the pinch. We see the quote inflation. And all the shipping disruptions that happened during the pandemic caused the cost of goods and foods and products to just go through the roof. Now, here we are again. And listen, if you don't think this is a big deal, then you haven't seen the latest reports. Let me show you this. And pull this back here a little bit so you can see this. U.S. shoppers start to stock up on essentials as port strikes pressure prices to go higher than ever. Higher than ever. Wonderful, isn't it? What does that mean? It means you, if you go to Walmart right now, if you go to Ingles, if you go to Winn-Dixie, if you go to Food Lion, if you go to Publix, whatever, I can name all these grocery chains depending on your location, where you live, Piggly Wiggly, I don't know. You're going to start seeing shelves start getting empty. There's not as much milk. There's not as much eggs. There's not as much bread. Why? Because, again, people are panicking. They're freaking out. And with the era of social media, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, everybody's talking about this because it's a big deal. So people, when you have these CEOs and corporate giants and these economists that are coming out and they're saying that they're concerned and they're worried that there's not a deal made, and the strike is not prevented, then you have a quote like this, quote, I am worried. It's hard to be able to make ends meet as it is, and it's going to be even worse. So are you saying, Brother Ricky, you shouldn't stock up? No, I'm telling you right now. We've already been stocked up. We've already prepared for this. If you're waiting, guys, till now to prepare and stock up, you're getting caught with your pants down. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, guys, how many times has the watchman come out and said, you got to be prepared. You need to get ready. Look, I mean, Joseph, when he was put in position of leadership over Egypt and Pharaoh, he was the second in command over Pharaoh. The very first thing that Joseph did was he warned Pharaoh, look, there trouble's coming, disaster's coming, calamity's coming, and you need to prepare. You need to get people in positions to be ready. And you don't need to stand around and have your arms folded and say, well, Lord, I know the Lord's going to come on. It's like the analogy of the guy praying that God would send him help. And he's sitting up on the roof. And then y'all know the story. The canoe comes and he says, no, I'm waiting on God. Then the boat comes. No, I'm waiting on God. Then the helicopter comes. No, I'm waiting on God. And this is not what Pharaoh did. Pharaoh was a wicked leader, a wicked man, but God still spoke to him through dreams and warned him about the calamity. And then when Joseph interpreted the dream for him, and Joseph gave him specific instructions on how, watch this, to prepare him and the nation of Egypt to survive what was coming. Thank God that Pharaoh listened to Joseph, who was a man of wisdom and full of the Spirit of God. And because he listened and obeyed the word of the Lord, Egypt was spared, and ultimately Joseph and his family and Israel was spared as well. So I'm trying to tell you that the prudent man sees disaster coming and he prepares accordingly. He doesn't sit around with his arms folded waiting for somebody else to bail him out. He does. Come on, if you're, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you're waiting for the government to come and intervene and help you, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You're going to be in a lot of trouble. And I'm telling you, you don't want to do that. Then, on top of all this, yesterday we were at, and guys, I know I'm going to be respectful of your time. We're going to pray. I promise you, we're going to pray. Yesterday, I was at a birthday party with some friends of ours, and our phone started blowing up, and there was alerts coming off, broadcasting alerts, local. We read it, and lo and behold, there was a bio lab plant about 20 minutes from where I live that caught on fire. And by the way, this is not the first time that this has happened. There's so much negligence and irresponsibility at this place that it's under scrutiny and an investigation. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it's embarrassing, honestly. There was a alleged fire was ignited when a sprinkler head malfunctioned. Again, at a biolab plant about 25 miles southeast of downtown Atlanta. This forced 90,000 Georgia residents to take shelter after a chemical fire. Again, this plume went up 40,000 feet in the air. I saw it with my own eyes. I took pictures of it. And it was chilling, guys. It looked almost apocalyptic. We saw the clouds and we saw the orange haze. And all of a sudden, you could smell the chlorine, the chemical, almost like a bleach chlorine smell. And we all, at that point, was like, yeah, we probably should get inside. And then I remember everything got hazy. And then even today, 24 hours later, I had to go out and go to the store and run errands. And it's hazy. It's foggy. My eyes have been burning all day. I've got a headache. So, yeah, pray for us here in Georgia, too. So, again, what am I talking about tonight? Disaster after disaster after disaster, and we're reeling. Money is hemorrhaging from our country. I don't want to use the word fear. I am concerned that this is only going to continue. And by the way, we're like a little over a month away until the presidential elections. How interesting is that all of this is happening? So I said all that to lead up to this point. I want every individual under the sound of my voice tonight, if you're watching tonight, I know this, I understand, I realize this is live. So if you're with your family, your husband, your spouse, your whatever the case may be, if you've got two or more gathered with you, I want you to come together. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray. We're going to start tonight. We're going to start with the folks in the South of America. We're talking about from Florida all the way up, all the individuals that are in line in the path of the destruction of this hurricane. We're going to lift them up tonight. All these states, all these residents, folks, I'm telling you, again, some reports are saying up to 1,200 missing. The death count is going to go way over 100. I'm telling you, it's going to rise. There's people that have lost their parents, people that have lost children, they've lost pets, they've lost everything they have. It's heartbreaking. It's devastating. It makes me sick to my stomach. So we're not going to sit here and talk about it anymore. We're going to pray for them. And then we're going to shift gears. We're going to pray about this port situation, because this would be disastrous. We're going to pray that something gets resolved quickly. And then we're going to pray for our nation as a whole, because, guys, we cannot sustain these many disasters. And I understand that, you know, God doesn't hold up America as, you know, someone special or a nation that's special above everyone else. We know, again, God calls Israel the apple of his eye. Prophecy centered around Israel, not America. I understand this. I get this. But I don't live in Israel. I live in America. So as long as I'm breathing and alive and my heart's beating in my chest and I have a voice, I'm going to intercede and pray come on and stand in the gap for America, and that's my country. So if you're living outside of America, come on. I would pray for your country as well as you would pray for ours. I would hope you would come into agreement with me. Come on, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this gathering of believers that are live. Lord, this almost nearly 800 people that are live watching this on this Monday night of September 30th, 2024. And I thank you for those that will watch this by the rebroadcast of this. God, I ask that we would lift up our voice as a unified body and that we would begin to stand in the gap and we would make up that hedge and we would pray and we would intercede for all the victims in the path of this hurricane, in the path of this disaster. Lord, there is entire families that's been displaced. Lord, there's entire families that have lost everything they've ever had. Lord, their entire family has been wiped out. People's homes are wiped out. Their pets are gone. They've lost children. They lost lives. Father, this is horrific. Father, this goes beyond the realm of comprehension, God. I'm asking for your mercy. I'm asking for your intervention, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd make a way for those that are trapped in homes and trapped in locations and they can't get food and they can't get water and they can't get distribution to them. They don't have any power. They don't have any gas. They don't have any means of electricity. God, I pray that you would bring supernatural intervention in Jesus' name. God, I'm reminded of the times in the Bible wherein which you supernaturally provided for your people. God, there was a widow woman who had just enough oil in a jar that to make a cake and eat it for herself and her son and die. But the man of God showed up and showed her a way that God would bless her, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God, I'm reminded of Elijah the prophet who followed the will of God, and he went to a brook where he stayed, and eventually that brook dried up. And Lord, but when that brook dried up, God, you sent a raven to feed him and supply to him until you provided an open door. God, I don't know how you can do it. I don't know the way you can, but God, I know that you're the way maker. I know that you're Jehovah Jireh. You're the Lord, our provider. God, I thank you in Jesus' name that nothing is impossible. And to those that believe, I believe with all my heart that there is praying and interceding men and women of God in the Appalachians, up in the mountains, in those places in Tennessee, even in Asheville, God, even in a place that's filled with the occult and witchcraft and New Age, God, there's a remnant in Asheville that call on your name and believe in you. God, I'm asking that you'd bring that reprieve, God. Bring mercy, God. Bring, Lord, help that cometh from the hills in which they lift their eyes up to, God. I thank you in Jesus' name for that help. God, I ask that you dispatch heavenly angels to do in the supernatural what they cannot do in the natural in Jesus' name. God, I remind you, Lord, of Paul and Silas that was in a predicament where they couldn't free themselves, but an angel of the Lord showed up when they began to sing praises unto the Lord. The whole place started shaking and rocking, and an earthquake came and they were set free in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Father. There's nothing impossible unto you who, and to those that believe on your name. God, I thank you for the resources. I thank you for the money that's coming in to help these people. God, I pray that what the enemy intended for evil, you'll turn it around and make it for good. I pray that souls would come to the Lord through this disaster. The gospel would be preached through this disaster. Lord, God, they would see miracles through this disaster. I pray that we begin to hear testimonies. We begin to see miracles come up. I pray a mighty revival would come up out of North Carolina, come through Asheville, come up through Surrey, Riverville, come up through Bryson City in North Carolina and all these locations, even in Tennessee and Eastern Tennessee and the Western Hills of North Carolina, even in Florida, God, even for our Floridians, Lord Jesus, I pray resources. I pray miracles in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, for this in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Now, Father, we pray right now, Lord, we know that we're being told that there's a tropical disturbance disturbance that's forming off the Gulf of Mexico. And Lord, the meteorologists and the weathermen and the weather people, they're saying that this could be another strike. This could go in the same path. Father, we don't receive that in Jesus' name. We cast down those words. Father, in Jesus' name, we command this storm to cease. We command it to die in Jesus' name. Now, I know some of y'all, is that messed y'all up because y'all been taught a different theology than me. But let me come on. I'm going to testify a little bit. I know we're praying, but I'm going to give a little testimony to Jesus. See, on Friday night, our local forecasters told us right here where I live in Georgia that by the time 7 a.m. rolled around on Friday morning, they told us, listen to me, that we would have sustained wind gust up to 100 miles an hour. And I'm telling you, where I live, we have tall pine trees. Come on. How many knows what I'm talking about? If you live in Georgia, you live in places like Alabama, you live in Florida, you know what I'm talking about, the tall pine trees. And we're talking about if a storm, they're not like a palm tree. Palm trees they were built to sustain storms and they can bend with the wind. But these pine trees with a lot of saturation and winds, they'll snap and they'll fall. And if they're close to your home, they'll fall on your house. So when they were telling us it was going to be 100 mile an hour wind gust, my family and I begin to intervene. We begin to pray. We begin to bind and we begin to command this storm to shift and move. And again, and here's what was profound. I woke up the next morning. And periodically through that night, I didn't sleep very well. Every 2 hours, I'd wake up and I would look out and see, and it's only raining. And I'd go back to sleep. And 2 hours later, it's only raining. And then I'd go back to sleep and there's just a small wind gust. And I said, wow. And it was 4, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and we still got power. And then the timeline came between 7 and 9 a.m. was supposed to be the worst thing. And we noticed that I looked on the radar. When I pulled up the radar, the entire storm had shifted west. It was supposed to go east, but it shifted west. I'm trying to tell you, and you say, well, I don't believe that was through prayer. I don't care what you believe. Listen, you ain't going to take my prayer life from me. You're not going to take my hope. You're not going to take my faith. And I'm going to pray according to my faith because I've seen God do it. We've been in storms. Listen, I've been in tornadoes when I lived up in Indiana. And my older son and I, we prayed those things through and we've seen them. We've seen them split. We've seen them shift and we've seen them dissipate. I'm telling you, listen, don't let someone poo-poo your prayers and your faith. You say, excuse me, keep your mouth shut and keep your unbelief to yourself. And let me get with my people over here that has faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed that can speak unto a mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea and not doubt those things in which they say. And if they believe in their heart, they shall have whatsoever they say it. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, we command this storm to dissipate. We command it to shift. We command it to die out. It will not take that course in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you'd put mighty angels that has the ability to shift winds and to do the impossible. And I ask that you'd protect your people, God. Protect them for the sake of those righteous in the cities. In the danger zones of this disturbance that they're saying could form into this hurricane. Father, we thank you tonight that your hand is upon this, God. We thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, y'all believe this tonight. Now I'm going to shift gears. We're going to pray for this port situation because this, we don't need this, guys. We don't need this. We don't need more inflation. Let's pray that a deal is made. Everybody's happy on this deal. Everybody's happy on this end. And we resolve this because this is the worst possible timing of this. Worst possible timing. We've already got enough shipping disorders and setbacks and all the and distribution. We don't need this. We don't need another nail in the coffin. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now for all 40 what is it, 45,000 of these workers. Right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that there is a resolution and there's a deal struck before the clock strikes midnight tonight, which would make it October 1st, 2024. God, I pray that you'd work behind the scenes. You would turn the hearts of the recipients and turn the hearts of the distributors. Lord, that there'd be a deal made, that everybody would walk away and they'd be satisfied. And Lord, it would stop this chain reaction that could be the nail in the coffin to our economy, in Jesus' name. Again, Father, do it for the sake of the remnant. Do it for the sake of your children, oh God. Lord, I thank you, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't rely on the stock market. We don't rely on Wall Street. We don't rely on distribution. Father, we believe in the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, that owns the silver and gold, that the earth and the fullness thereof is yours, the God who lives in a city whose streets are gold and walls are jasper. Father, we thank you, Father, that you are our provider. You're Jehovah Jireh, Father. Lord, you said, the psalmist said, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and by the testimony in which he had and his experience, and he said, I was young and now I'm old and I have yet to ever see the righteous forsaken and his seed beg of bread. Folks, listen, you know why I said that? Because Matthew chapter 6 tells us, do not worry. Do not worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, how we're going to clothe ourselves. For the Gentiles worry about all these things, but your heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask. Come on, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto us. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that your will is going to be done. If this thing doesn't go the way in which we're praying and believing for this port strike, Lord, I know the doom and gloom forecasters and the economists and the experts are all saying that this will be it. This is the nail in the coffin. There's going to be problems. But God, we know that, Father, there's always a Goshen. The cattle were dropping dead in Egypt. There was darkness on the land of Egypt. There was lice in Egypt. There was the frogs in Egypt. But come on, somebody, but in Goshen, the cows were fat. The cows were plenty. They had plenty of milk. Come on, there was light in Goshen and not darkness. They didn't have the insect problems. They didn't have the plagues. They didn't have the pestilence. They were blessed. And the Bible says that when the children of God, the children of Israel, came out of Egypt, come on, there was not one feeble one among them. They came out with silver and gold, and no feeble one was among them. They spoiled the Egyptians. Think about it, church. Think about it. We are blessed of God because we have a covenant with God. I believe that with all my heart. Malachi tells us there is a book of remembrance written in heaven for those who fear him and call on his name. The Bible says in Malachi, right there in Malachi chapter 3, he says that I will spare them like a jeweler spares his precious jewels on that day. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Come on. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Why? Because he is good. He is faithful. He is merciful. And he keeps his promise that are yes, his promises that are yes and amen. And to those that believe. And come on, let's close this broadcast tonight by praying this one last prayer for America tonight. Father, We call upon your name, Father, and we ask above all these things that God, that you'd move again in our nation. Lord God, I have never seen, I've never been a part of, I've never tasted, and I've never participated in a great awakening. I have books, I have literature, I have seen videos, I've seen commentaries, I've heard interviews, and I've seen all of this from a distance about these great moves of God where you swept through the nation and where men and women of God began to weep and factories shut down and bars shut down and drug cartels were exposed and they threw down their weapons and they threw down their drugs and there was a mighty revival that swept through the streets and swept through the communities. God, I've read about this and I've studied it, God. And Lord, when I read it, oh God, my heart burns within me, God. And my very soul is set afire and set ablaze. How I long for such a move of God to come again in the nation of America, oh God. And I pray tonight, God, if there is one last awakening that can come, God, I pray that it would come. Lord, I believe with all my heart that this last great awakening would come to the young people based on Joel chapter 2, what you revealed in your word. Sons and daughters would be the catalyst. They would be the forerunners. God, I say, let it begin with us. Let it begin with our children. Let it begin with our homes. Let it begin, Lord God, in our communities, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that all these disasters and all these calamities would result or would end up and cause a chain reaction of people falling on their face before God, falling on their knees in repentance. Lord, this is exactly what happened to Nineveh. Nineveh experienced disasters. They experienced plagues. They experienced signs in the heavens, a solar eclipse. They experienced a great plague that came to the land. They experienced an earthquake, and then the prophet came in. The prophet showed up. The man of God showed up. The voice proclaiming, "Thus saith the Lord," showed up and declared unto them, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, 40 days from now, if there is no repentance, this place will be destroyed." Father God, I pray, Lord, that there'd come, Father, through all these disasters, I pray that the voices of the true remnant would rise up and the voices of the prophetic voice today would get to the ears of the leaders of this country, whoever that is, whoever that administration it is, God, you only know. Who that administration is going to be in less than 30 days. 2 months from today. 2 months from tomorrow will be December 1st. By then, the dust will settle. Things will be over. The election will be over. We'll have a new leader in position. I don't know who that's going to be. I don't have a prophetic word, but God, I know that your word says that you set up kings and you set them down according to your will. And God, I ask that if it's in your will, I pray that a mighty sweeping revival would come to our nation. One more time, God. One more time for us and our children. Father, I pray that you'd look down, Father, and I'm reminded when I read those stories and I study this out, Lord, it was always a remnant. It started with a remnant. It always began with a small, even your word says, despise not small beginnings. It started with a small prayer group. It started with a small group of men and women who were desperate for revival and awakening. And as they travailed and as they cried out and as they prayed, Lord, it just increased and increased and increased in magnitude. And eventually it spread like wildfire. And God, we pray that it would happen again in our lifetime, Lord, in Jesus' name, because we know, God, we know how wicked our nation is as America. Lord, just like the man of God said one day, he said, if God does not judge America, he will have to personally apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. So God, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, I pray that there be a remnant that would be found righteous in your eyes and they would be standing in the gap and making up the hedge. And Lord, if disaster befalls America and judgment comes, I pray just like you did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, God, you sought out the remnant. You sought out Lot, a righteous man who dwelt in the cities, and he was vexed by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked and the things in which he saw and heard daily. You sent angels to him And you told him, get yourself ready and get out of the city, for I can do nothing until you're out of the city. God, I believe with all my heart that you have not appointed the righteous unto the wrath of God, but unto you've appointed us unto salvation. You have not preserved your bride for judgment and preserved us for wrath, because you said in Nahum, God reserves his wrath for his enemies. We are not the enemies of God. We're the bride of Christ. And Lord, I thank you, and we want to praise you, and we want to thank you, Father God, that, Father, you know those who are his. You said, Lord, in Revelation chapter 3, you said that you will keep us from that hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world. You said in Luke chapter 21, you said, pray that you may be found worthy to escape all these things. So, Father, we praise you and we give you glory and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, guys, please stick around for a second before we close this broadcast. Again, if you're just joining us, we've been praying because we've had so many things happen, so many disasters and events. So we've been praying accordingly, which we should. Okay. But if we get a reprieve, I promise you, we're going to pray for you guys that are live in here. You guys that are coming here live, you're going to post your prayer request. We're going to start praying over your needs, because we know that you've got needs in your marriage, in your family, in your finances, in your health. We know that. We understand that. But y'all also understand what we're facing right now. And I know that. Everybody understands that. But again, I want you to know, every Monday night, again, every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, right here on YouTube, we're going to be here, Lord willing, Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to pray. Now, what we're going to pray for, I don't know. Only the Lord knows, but we're going to pray. And so if you're listening by Apple, by Spotify, by Rumble, you're watching by Rumble, please, you need to come over here and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Why? So you can be a part of this corporately, because these live prayer meetings, we'll see you in the chat and we can pray over your needs. And again, the free app, get it today, download it, hit yes to push notifications. Boom, everything's going to be right there at your fingertips. So guys, listen, we love you. We appreciate you. Again, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we're going to talk about Hurricane Helene again. But I'm going to show you biblically what I believe is happening, what it means, and what we need to be looking in the future and preparing for. Because if I'm right, I could be wrong, but if I'm right, then buckle up, because it's only going to intensify. So we're going to sign off for tonight. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, share this, subscribe, hit the bell notification, all that. We're going to sign off for tonight. And again, I appreciate every one of you guys, all your support, your prayers, your intercession for myself, for my family, for our ministry. And it means more than I could even express with words. So until we see you guys tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, I pray that the Lord would bless you, that he would keep you, and that his countenance would shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.